Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you meet somebody just blows your mind. Yeah. Sometimes you don't know what to do.
Somebody, I think this is Billy coming in. But our main guest today is Nelson Curry, and another member of the Class Band Brotherhood, and that fabulous, fabulous, fabulous rendition of Back to the Sugar Shack. Hey, Rudy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're all going back to the Sugar Shack.
Charming.
Go ahead, Billy.
We're standing. We're live in the North End, Little Italy of Boston. We're sitting in front of the North End Golf Association with the legendary Jerry Maffeo and his sidekick, Eddie B. Eddie Barnett was a very well-known local DJ who was a frequent flyer at the Sugar Shack. And the three of us are sitting together. And I'm still looking at this goddamn store cover. It looks like the 18th hole. I don't see no fucking grass anywhere. Go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
The Chiffons was the first group that opened for the show.
Ah,
right?
The Chiffons. Fantastic. Well, listen. Hey, let's get our guests on. We got, the phone is lighting up from South Carolina. Nelson, are you on the air?
Yeah, am I on?
Hey, Nelson.
Right. Nelson Curry.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you, man. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thanks for inviting me to the show.
Well, why don't we tell a quick story? Chuck heard you a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think it was even that long. I think it was last week. Found you guys on the internet with this fantastic song, Back to the Sugar Shack. And then he called you. When did we talk, Thursday or Friday?
I think it was Thursday.
Okay, yeah, Thursday we had this great conversation, and you told us about how the whole song came to be. You want to, do you want to answer that right away? Do you want to say anything else to the group before you do? But we'd really like to hear that story.
Well, my name is Nelson Curry. I'm out of North Augusta, South Carolina, and I always have to say the South Carolina part because if I give people North Augusta, they'll send it to Georgia. They'll say North Augusta, Georgia. But it's actually South Carolina. But when I got that call last week, actually from Chuck, he couldn't have called me at a better time because I was feeling a little, little out of sorts because I was thinking, man, you know, I don't know if people really get what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring some of that old soul feel back and stuff like that. And so he called me at the perfect time when he was telling me about the Sugar Shack Club with Rudy and everything, and I had no idea. You know, it was just one of those things where the universe just kind of lined everything up, and why it picked me that day, hey, I don't know, but it was great. It was fantastic.
And Rudy, you see what's happening here? All this crazy synchronicity, everything's coming back. Nelson, as I explained to you, this is the 50th, next year is the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Shack. And yeah, we got Billy, who's on the line there. Billy is the guy who wrote, is writing the play, Back to the Sugar Shack. And then along comes your song, Back to the Sugar Shack. And it seems like at this 50th year, everything's coming back to the Sugar Shack. So, Rudy, you want to say something?
Yeah, the buzz is working, not the word. The buzz idea is not the word.
As you know, Nelson, Rudy is the originator. Rudy and Jerry started the Sugar Shack way back when. And, in fact, why don't you continue with the story, how you were, you kind of had a little inspiration, a little help, and then you put the whole thing together not knowing that there was a club called the Sugar Shack?
Oh, yeah, right, right. I mean, it sounds kind of corny when I say it to people because nobody believes it happened quite like that sometimes. But I was approached by I felt a presence in the room one night. I was lying on the couch, and something was telling me to go and do this thing that I'm supposed to do, right? And I was so afraid that I didn't even turn around because I was thinking, I have nothing. I don't have anything. So, and this thing was telling me, just do it. I've got it. You just do it. And so when I got with the guys and we went in the studio, the lyrics that you hear are the lyrics that I was basically just inspired to write. You know, I didn't change a thing. We kept it, and even when we got ready to play a solo, and I was like, nah. I said, nah. I said, you know, because I was kind of feeling the whole Otis Redding thing, trying to take it back into that thing. I said, you know, nobody's whistled on the record in a long time. I'm going to whistle. So we opted to eliminate guitar solo or keyboard solo, and we went with the whistle. So I just started whistling. And that whistle is, everything you hear is that first take. And that's why I was like, some magic in here. I said, let's leave it as it is. Let's keep it like that. And everybody's like, thumbs up, let's go. And, I mean, it's just one of those things that was meant to be. So when Chuck called me, I was thinking, holy cow. I know, I didn't know anything about a Sugar Shack. I didn't know anything, but there was nothing. I had no clue. As a matter of fact, when I came with the Sugar Shack hook, it was based on because I was going past a bar that was called the Shack. And I was thinking, you know what, that's what we need to write about, something old, some old country kind of thing. Shack, yeah, Black Shack, Black Shack. And it made sense. And so I started talking about this girl that I met. She got away. I never got the number. And my uncle told me a while back, because I was dating a girl at the time who did a little lingerie modeling. And she was fine as can be. She actually ended up being my wife. But my uncle said, man, that girl got a coke outbreak. And I was like, I'm going to use that one day. You know, and he said that probably 5 years or 6 years before I even wrote the lyrics to the song. But I never forgot him saying, man, that girl's got a coke powerpoint. I had never heard anybody say that before.
Well, as you said, it's got a great hook. Hey, Rudy, when I was listening to that, and Jerry, when I listen to that song and when those horns come in, man, there's no doubt that that was the sound that you guys produced at the Sugar Shack.
Right.
There was a song that came out then. There's a crazy little shack called the Sugar Shack.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some white guy made it.
Yeah.
It became a pretty good hit.
Jimmy Gilmer in the Beatles or something like that.
Yeah. But, you know, your rendition captures the whole soul sound, that whole soul genre. I mean, Rudy, let me ask a question just from hearing that song. And I think I know the answer, so it's a rhetorical question. Would you hire the Class Band Brotherhood based on what you hear on that song for your Sugar Shack?
In a minute.
Oh, man. That's what I like to hear. Hey.
And you're talking about, go ahead, Rudy, tell them about some of the acts you had there. We've heard it before, but it's always great to hear it again.
Yeah, we got a list of stars that doesn't end. Jerry Butler, Friends of Distinction, Edwin Starr, Joe Simon, David Ruffin of The Temptation,
wow.
The Moment, Blue Magic, Tyrone Davis, The Spinners, the late B.B. King, Al Green. You want me to keep going?
Oh, hey. Oh, all of my favorites. I'm
telling you.
Listen, we have a caller that called in right away, and Rudy, you have been getting some amazing accolades on Facebook, people who worked for you, people who remember the club. So I've got a number here, 508-577. Who we got there?
You got Robert Lehman here from Brockton, Massachusetts. How you doing?
Hey, you were nice enough to be on the Facebook yesterday. Thanks so much for calling in. What do you want to say to Rudy and Jerry?
Well, first of all, I'd just say, Rudy, I came to your club when I was 16 years old. I have to admit, I used a fake ID to get in. And I've been loving it.
I'm going to hold Jerry responsible for that because he was checking some of the ideas.
Hey, and I've been loving R&B music ever since. I'm 64 years old right now. And I'll tell you what, I love all the old R&B groups. I'm a member of all these different associations that have all these different oldie but goodie shows. There's going to be one down in Hershey, Pennsylvania that I'm going to try to get to go to. They're all over the country, mostly in the Northeast. And I'm sure you probably attend some of these yourself. With, you know, Blue Magic, there's probably three Blue Magics now. There's probably three Temptations, there's three of this, three of that. I love them all, okay? And I tell you, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed to get to the Sugar Shack. I'd get there about, I don't know, maybe an hour before with my little group, and we get down, to go down them steps, and we always get like a front row seat. You know, if you get there early, you get a front row seat. And I felt like, you know, have you seen the movie, the Temptation movie with Otis Williams?
Yeah.
Where he used to watch those? I was Otis Williams. I was so excited to see those groups. And I actually had a group myself in Rhode Island for a while. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'd like to see another Sugar Shack open someday, preferably someplace on outskirts of Boston. I know with your blessings and the right financing, we could do it and bring all those old groups back. And I'd say it would be a tremendous thing to do. What do you think about that, Rudy?
You know, a lot of the old groups are still working. I'm trying to do a soul festival. We're trying to get somebody, some sponsors, to put all the groups together and have a 3-day event. Because they still about 25 groups that are working, 25, 30 groups. They're still working. It's unbelievable. 50 years.
Unbelievable. Yeah, they're unbelievable. So that's a good idea to do that. But I'd also wonder if you'd be interested in opening up a new Sugar Shack, call it the new Sugar Shack, and just have what you're talking about of venues. They're like events where they have, like, you know, groups come in and they rent a hall and they promote it. I'm talking about actual clubs.
These groups get so much money today, it's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe what they get today. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's not feasible today to do something like that. You need like a 1,000-seater at least, you know, because so much money today. You know, hotel rooms are so much money, transportation, everything is way out of line those days, you know.
Yeah, well,
one last
point,
Rudy,
I can make about the Sugar Shack. I used to go down them steps and everything. How'd you get all the equipment and everything done? Was there a back entrance to the Sugar Shack? I remember going down all them steps. Huh?
Yeah, there was a back entrance in the alley. There was a little alley there, Boylston Place.
Down the alleyway.
Yeah.
Down the alley. Hey, Eddie Barnetta's sitting there. He's got a list of groups that he's seen in the Sugar Shack. I swear there's got to be 100 and something groups.
This is Eddie B. Just checking in. Want to say hello, Rudy. All these groups I saw it myself live in the Sugar Shack. So check out this list. I tried to do them alphabetically. The Ambitions, Archie Bell and the Drells, Black Ivory, Blue Magic, The Blue Notes, Brighter Side of Darkness, The Chambers Brothers, The Checkmates, Jai Lights, Choice 4, Delphonics, Bells, Detroit Emeralds, Dramatics, Dynamic Superior, Ebony, Ecstasy, Passion, and Pain, The Escorts, The Esquires, The Ethics, Beethoven Charity, Fantastic Four, Five Stair Steps, Four Talk, Friends of Distinction, Hearts of Stone, Impressions, Independence, Intrigues, Intruders, The Joneses, Lost Generation, Main Ingredient, Manhattan's, Mark IV, The Moments, The Montclairs, Natural Four, New Birth, New York City, Ohio Players, OJs, Originals, Persuaders, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Soul Children, Spinners, Staple Singers, Stylistics, Temprees, The Tramps, and The Whispers.
Imagine that.
So that's a few groups.
One customer. Go ahead, Jerry. Jerry, go ahead.
Ohio Players, one of the guys in the band told Rudy, my brother is cool in the game.
Yep.
They were 51 with a bullet. By the time they came to Boston, they had number one. We got them for number one.
All from performing at the Sugar Shack.
Which is 46,000 wow. That week.
46,000 that week. Big money back then. Wow.
Big money.
Wow. Amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Nelson, you have connected with the Vein. I mean, this place was just the amazing. It was an event. It was a happening. It was a historic thing, just as your song was meant to happen. We feel that the Sugar Shack not made such an impression on everybody for so long. Here it is 50 years later, and we're all excited just to talk about it.
Hey, I am 100%. I'm so pumped up about just being, you know, being cosmically connected. My soul must have been in that building sometime back in that day. So, I mean, because this is one crazy accident. I tell you that. And I love it.
Exactly. I think what we love about this, and I love to hear Rudy say.
When we opened
Go ahead, Jerry.
We were the first people to have a big black club right in the heart of Boston. And we opened up the city to all the black people from Roxbury and Dorchester, and they all came.
Yeah. Multicultural. And it was all done in harmony.
The beginning of the 1907 of the black people leaving their town and coming into Boston. They didn't never used to come to Boston and speak before.
There was no reason.
A lot of
there
racial tension.
They had a reason, and they started coming in town, and they really got into the music and everything.
Amazing, amazing. All in harmony.
Nelson Curry Stone listening?
Yes, Nelson, you're
yes,
still there.
Yes,
right?
Yep.
Oh, Nelson, got a question for Nelson. This is Eddie B.
Yeah.
Do you know any singers, or were you related to either two of these singers, a guy named Clifford Curry or Lewis Curry?
No, I'm not related, but I get asked that all the time.
All right, I'm just curious.
The Curry clan is pretty big, but I'm not connected to them.
They're amazing musicians. I listened to a couple of your songs. They're amazing. You guys, we're grateful to have you.
Well, hey, Nelson, tell us about the Earth, Wind, and Fire experience.
Oh, yeah. We opened for Earth, Wind, and Fire about 3 weeks ago. And one of the things that kind of amazed me is that Even Earth, Wind, and Fire, I had a connection with them.
All right.
And it came back full circle, even with them, because I was in California for a while, and the girl that was managing us said, you know what, you guys get dressed. Some of the guys from Earth, Wind, and Fire are going to come by, you know, and hang out. This is a little short white lady, you know, looking like Pamela Anderson. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, right. And sure enough, her doorbell rings, and there's Bernie White and a couple of guys from Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm like, oh, well, crap. I'm like, let me go get that. And
the best things
always
happen when you least expect it.
Exactly. And so when I saw them again, the first thing I asked Bernie was, do you remember that? And he finished everything else. He said, yeah, Sean Anderson. You guys were there. I'm like, holy cow. He remembers that 20 years ago. Oh, man. It was great. I mean, it was just fantastic. And you know, we opened the show. We opened the show. Everybody standing up in the stadium, and they were like, "Wow, you guys are awesome."
Doc.
Great time.
Oh, Doc.
Greatest club in the city.
Hey,
Tom.
Tom. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Tom. We got Eddie from the old. He's gonna call in.
Hey, I'm back in. I'm back in. I don't know what happened.
I think we got Eddie
LeVert
trying to call in from the OJ.
No.
Oh,
you got Eddie LeVert, 818?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey,
Hello. Is this Nelson again?
Yeah, this is me, right?
You got Nelson. Oh,
okay.
My name is Alex.
Yeah,
Alex.
I saw an 818 number come in.
Oh,
I don't know if that was Eddie LeVert or not.
It might have been one of the guys from my band may have called in.
Okay,
yeah,
wait a minute. We lost... We got an. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Vegas, Las Vegas. Is this Eddie LeVert?
Yeah. Hello, how are you?
We got
Eddie
LeVert, baby.
Hello, how are you doing?
Amazing. Eddie LeVert. Eddie.
This is what's going on, man. What's going on?
Eddie B from Boston, Mr. LeVert.
Yeah, we got somebody who would like to say something. Eddie B. from Boston. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie, I just wanted to say hello, buddy.
Eddie
What's B.
going
from
on,
Boston.
Eddie? Everything's good.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm getting old, Eddie.
Eddie.
Yeah, go ahead.
If we do this thing, you got to come. You got to be one of us. You are safe.
Yeah, well, If I'm free, it'd be a great thing because you know, Sugar Shack is used to be home base for the OJs. Then we played that place at least 4 or 5 times a year, and all the guys would be there, and all the girls, and you know, and some of the guys who were supposed to be pimping at that time, who later turned into. Who later turned into book writers and got some of their stuff on the screen. You know, I've ran into several of those guys, you know, during my career, that just was hanging around the bar, and their story became part of a movie or something. Or I saw one of the cars in one of the movies, you know, so, you know, and to run into these guys after so many years, you know, where it's like, you know, running into Rudy is like, that's a regular. You know, it's almost like I followed Rudy out here to Las Vegas. And when I got out here, you know, then he was one of the people that I could call a friend and I could call on him and get things done.
Thank you, Eddie.
Go ahead, Rudy.
No, I want to thank him. Tom, say
hello. Don't forget the people who are good to you on your way to getting to where you want to go, you know what I'm saying? And Rudy was one of those people, you know. We have Rudy Guarino stories that we sit around and talk about. Myself, Little Anthony, and the Imperials. We sit around and we talk about Rudy, and we talk about what a great place it was, and his brother Sticker, you know, all those guys who were backstage that would, you know, just take care of you, you know, and make sure that you know, it was almost like being at home, you know what I'm saying? You knew nothing could go wrong, even if something would go wrong, it wouldn't go wrong for long.
Hey, I shut Jerry off because there was a little interference. I'm going to put you back on, Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry. You want to say something?
Eddie, your brother, used to carry all your equipment down the stairs. I don't know how he did it. Is he still around?
Who?
He was your road manager, your brother.
Oh, you're talking about Andrew.
Yeah, he used to carry all the equipment. He was a good kid.
Yeah. And just, you know,
I remember that.
He passed away. You know, he left me holding this bag for sure.
What a wonderful kid.
He was a favorite around the Sugar Shack also, because you know it was like our whole band and everybody that was with us, you know, it was like even with the, you know, like we'd stick around a day extra just to see the act that was coming to follow us in there, the Temptations, you know, and you name it, you know, they were in there, you know, and you had to go through that because, you know, the crowd was right there in your face. You know, there was no getting around it. You were either good or they knew, and they knew what was good and what was bad, and they, you know, Billy Stewart.
Talk about that a little. What the experience was like in that club versus, was there any other club around even close to what you felt at the Sugar Shack?
Not ever, man. Not even, you know, not even if you go and you talk about New York and they talk about Studio 54 and all that stuff. Yeah, it was cool. But if you really wanted to play a place that put you right in front of the people and the people were right there for you, it was like the Sugar Shack, you know, and everybody in the business, everybody in the game knew that it was the place. It was terrible, man, when we lost that place. It was just like, you know, there's no place to play in Boston. You go and play the convention center and all that stuff. It's all good, but nah. It doesn't have the magic, you know, the magic, the people, you become friends with these people, and friends I've made in there in the Sugar Shack has lasted for years, and, you know, I mean, I still know these people. They call me now, and we talk, and, you know, and conversate. Some of them are successful. Some of them are, you know, just hanging on, you know. But I still have a relationship with a lot of people from there, you know.
I gotta thank you because I was a little white kid from Roxbury that found the beautiful soul music and the harmony, and it was the safest place in Boston for interracial stuff. You know, you just, like you said, you knew those great hands, but you touched us so much. I only know of, we talked about one other act that really stood out. All the acts were phenomenal, and you couldn't say one was better than the other. But when you left the stage, when you were singing Missing You, and you would be sweating like crazy, and you'd take your jacket off, you'd have that white shirt. And one night, you sat down at the table with me and my wife, and you sang Missing You to us. And that was, talk about that a little bit, will you?
Oh, man, well, you know, that's the one thing about being at the Sugar Shack, and you could just interplay your interaction with the audience was like priceless, and I got a chance to hone my craft to be able to do it from a big stage. To be able to do that, to get that same kind of camaraderie, or should we say that same kind of feeling, going from the big stage to a big audience. And being able, the Sugar Shack helped me to achieve that just by being, you learn how to be yourself, if you understand what I'm saying. You learn how
totally.
To just be that personality, and, you know, and doing, being able to do that for you and your wife was like, it was the ideal song, it was the ideal situation, and it was two people who who were in love with each other, you know what I'm saying? So
could you sing a a bar of that, a couple of bars of that? Miss You Every Day.
You're kidding
me. Come on, man.
I don't even remember the song. Do you understand? You got it. Let me see. I miss you. That's about all I know.
All I remember is miss you more and more and every day. Miss you more and more and everywhere. I'm missing you.
Okay, did it go like, wait, hold it. I miss phoning you at breakfast about 7:15. Is that the way it went?
Yeah, a little bit, but it was definitely, you poured your soul into it. I miss you more and more every day.
Yes.
I miss you more and more in every way. I'm missing you.
Yes, absolutely. Great song.
And, you know, you left nothing in that club. Those girls, you were lucky Rudy and the Riot guys on it, because those girls would have taken you outside.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Listen, I was wild then. I would have went.
I'm gonna put Jerry back on. Jerry, go ahead. Eddie B, I'm sure you got something to say. Hang on, here we go.
I got Jerry just had a little business appointment. He just got picked up from one of his business associates, if you know what I mean. So, but I got Eddie B still sitting here. He's a small man. Go ahead, Eddie B.
Eddie B, you want to add something?
Yes, Mr. Bobby Eli would like to say hello to Mr. LaVert, because I know they're good friends. I'll be seeing Bobby in about a month when I go down to Philly.
Oh, okay, I gotta go to Philly in a few days. They're gonna be honoring Sidney Poitier, the city is in July. I get the pleasure of going down and singing for him.
Wow, that'll be great.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Listen,
so
Nelson Curry, Eddie, Nelson just wrote a song a couple of years ago called Back to the Sugar Shack, and man, he just nailed it. Nelson, I'd like to introduce you to Eddie LaVert. What do you want to say to Eddie?
All I want to say is I feel so fortunate. It's like I'm a fly on the wall in the house listening to all the greats. So, I mean, it's a pleasure being able to hear you say that, the thing about being in a club, it feels more personable, and it gets you prepared for a larger audience. I said that to somebody the other day.
Absolutely.
I was like, when people are standing right in front of me, you know, at first I used to be nervous about it when we first started, but when they're right in front of you, if you could make those people move, and when they're looking at you like, you better give it to me, and even if you can make them move, the rest of the world seems like a piece of cake.
Well, it is a piece of cake because it is because of the fact of, you know, being able to get past that scrutiny, because they're examining you by all means, and they're waiting on you to take charge and be who you're going to be, and let's see if I can, and then let's see if I can like you. And just the passion and the fearlessness, because there has to be some fearlessness in it, because, you know, when people are looking at you through those X-ray eyes, like when they're sitting on the front row, they're not really, they've come to judge you. No, that's a lot of money for that seat, and let me see if he's worth that $250.
That's right.
Eddie, I got to ask you this. I saw you. You're right. You were at the Sugar Shack four or five times a year. You went from, you know, a little bit of obscurity. You were well-known. You had amazing things. And then when you did Money, 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 and you did, Love Train, you were playing major stadiums. You guys were right in the fore. You were at the top of the charts, and then you would still come back to the Shack. I mean, what was that whole experience like?
That was like I told you, it was like, we got to go there. It's like, let's go back there and put our feet back on the ground. Let's go see if we still got it. If we still can get up close and personal And still, why do you think the Temps and the Tops and all of them came there? They had to go there to stay, to keep your feet on the ground, you know. You have to, look, you got a lot of help when you're up there on the big stage. You got the lights, you got the great sound system. You got, you know, I'm not saying that the sound system wasn't great. That's what made it so good. The sound system was good at the Sugar Shack. The lighting was good. You know, you're in the center of the floor. People are all around you, And, you know, and the guys at the bar, you know, they're already putting on a show, so you got to drown them out.
Yeah.
Eddie B, you want to jump? Eddie B, you want to jump on that?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead, Rudy.
When Eddie and the OJ came to the Sugar Shack, they ruled the Sugar Shack.
Oh, yeah.
For years,
no doubt about
it. This is the Sugar Shack. They ran the clock.
Without a doubt. Eddie, you said you had some stories about Rudy. You want to share one in particular?
No. There's no one you can tell about. You know, Rudy was never you know, when you talk, you talk to Rudy, and you know, he's sure, and all he says, well, we're going to take care of it, and that's all you got from Rudy. And the next thing you know, it was taken care of, and that's it. that's all I, you know, and whatever he said he was going to do, he would do, you know, and. That's why everybody enjoyed playing for him, you know. Whatever he said he would do, and, you know, you didn't have to worry about getting short change on your money. But, you know, sometimes he'd make you work hard for it, though.
In what way? How would he make you work hard? What would he do?
Oh, well, you know, he'd make sure you did that one extra show. You know, if he gave you a nice buck, he made sure that he was going to make out, you know, because this guy was, if I give you this, I'll need to put another show in, Eddie. What?
Hey, Eddie, you know, I'm an entertainer myself. What did it feel like when you, I mean, your music is the part of the soundtrack of America. I mean, Love Train, Money, Money, Money. I mean, there isn't a year that goes by I don't hear those songs in commercials. The Rolling Stones covered you guys. I mean, what's that make you feel? I mean, I was reading a little bit about you. You came from Alabama. Did you ever dream that this great thing would happen for you?
No, by no means, man. It's like, you know, you want to do things that, you know, will affect the world. And you want to be, and you want them to be positive. But I never dreamed that I would have songs that would go on for 50 or so years, and the message stay so ever prevalent. As you know, the message is still the same as it was, like the day we released that record. And so, I never, you know, you hope that you can get there, and then to live and see it, and to be living in it. You know what I'm saying? It's still an even greater blessing. And so, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for, man. And I think that Rudy Guarino just happens to be one of the things that I'm thankful for, because it helped hone me into the artist that I am today. You know what I'm saying?
That's beautiful.
Merely, simply because of just being able to go there and to not really know what I was capable of, but being able to discover myself and be able to, you know, find out who Eddie LaVert really is, and then be able to take it to another level by meeting up with Charlie Atkins and you know, such great people and Gamble and Huff, and, you know, and then making those records like The Love Train, The Backstabbers, and all of that stuff, and Money, Money, Money. You know what I'm saying? And to have these songs redone by great artists like Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones, and then to hear them on commercials on a regular basis. No, man, it's almost like a dream come true. But see, one thing that always keeps you grounded, know that there's a guy called Uncle Sam that every time you hear that, he's getting his too. of, you know, something that, that will continue to pay you and your family for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's beautifully said, and you're right. I mean, again, you are certainly in the soundtrack of probably every American for the last, you know, after you wrote A Love Train and Backstabbers, I mean, in money, in you know, that's just in everybody's DNA right now. I mean, it is a beautiful legacy.
I wish that I had wrote those, but I didn't write those. Those were written by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. Now, I was the instrument they used to get it to the national side, and that's what I did. And so, you know, that being along, greatness attract greatness, and me being a part of greatness kept me in the forefront of the business world because I'm able to be heard when they play those records. And when they play those records, they can't help but think about the OJs because that's who did them. And we've been fortunate enough that, you know, we've had a lot of covers from really great people. And so that keeps you in the game. You know, you don't know how you get there, man, or how you stay there. You just keep getting blessings just by trying to be a straight-up guy or trying to be someone who cares about the next person.
Beautifully said, and that's true. You got to stay, got to keep going to the well, and you do the work,
yes.
You put the bucket down, and sometimes it comes up full, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know, you're,
right.
You're sharing those blessings.
Absolutely, absolutely, my man.
Go ahead, Rudy.
Eddie, thank you for coming on, Eddie. It's a blessing. And before we get through, we're going to meet on that stage again. We're going to do a soul festival. We're working on all the events.
Wait,
and we're going to do a soul
festival. Keep me in mind and keep me abreast of what's going on so we can make sure that I'm clear and I can make that date, Rudy. All right?
Okay, my friend, and thank you for coming on and again.
Hey, Eddie B., you want to say something at the end here?
Come on, Seth, but it was great to hear Eddie LaVert and Rudy. The night the Sugar Shack closed, Rudy, I cried. Never will forget the Sugar Shack. Will never be another club like it, ever.
That's right. Amazing. Never ever. Never
ever. I want to thank you, Mr. LaVert, for calling in. Thank you so much.
All right.
Eddie,
you guys,
thank
you.
Guys,
yeah, man. It was my pleasure, guys. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.
I mean, you know,
thank you.
It was like I was down on Boylston Street.
Thank you, and bless you so much.
You
made a lot of guys really happy today.
Yes, absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got a caller, 818. Where are you from? Who do we have at 818?
That's
yeah,
hi,
number.
It's Chuck from L.A.
There he
hey,
is.
Chuck, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Well, this is certainly a fun show. Giggles all around. But this goes out to every... Nelson, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm here. Believe me,
okay.
I'm here.
Well, I just wanted to say it's great that, you know, Nelson's hooked up with this. And sometime before the show ends, Nelson, if you could plug your CDs and let, you know, the guys who are on or the audience know, they're
sure.
At least the first one that I have, Out of the Shadows of Soul, I've listened to 20 times. It's killer. And it's wonderful. The other thing I'd like to just mention, that if hopefully this Soul Festival show happens, I can think of a great opening act, hint, hint, who would be right in the pocket.
I can too. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, just think about it, because they could sort of set the mood and then the classic guys could come out. Nelson and I were talking yesterday about James Brown, and I brought up the mysterious live album recorded at the Sugar Shack that has disappeared, so I'm sending him a package today. Apparently Nelson knows James Brown's daughter, and he's going to pursue that, so who knows, maybe it'll show up. But
right.
with James Brown being said, before you end today, have Nelson tell you the story about the James Brown statue in Augusta and what he did. Because myself and all you guys are true fans of soul music, classical school soul and the artists, and listen to what Nelson did. It's truly inspiring and shows he's true blue and a believer. So, hey, Rudy, I'll probably talk to you later, as I always do, but keep going, guys, and something great's going to happen in this, I feel for sure. But Class Band Brotherhood, the CDs are great.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
not
you.
Only that, no. but something fantastic just happened. We got to talk to the great Eddie LaVert.
He got up early for you guys, which apparently is not often the case, according to Rudy. So, the morning sun came in harshly, but he was there. But,
hey,
no,
go ahead,
Nelson.
Tell us about the statue.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'll catch you guys later, but I'm listening.
All right, Chuck. Well, in Augusta, Georgia, when they erected the statue of James Brown, they put it on the ground. It was not even on a pedestal. So, you know, there was always this debate going on about, you know, how can they put the statue on the ground and how can they do this, such a disrespect. And, you know, my daughter was about 8 years old at the time, and I said, look, I said, people are going to always complain. I said, they're going to complain about this, they're going to complain about that. I said, but at some point in time, somebody has to do something. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort, really, to change that. So she said, well, Dad, you're known to put some people together. Why don't you try and do it yourself? So I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. So I put a T-shirt campaign together, and I called it Lend a Hand to Raise the Man. And I called another you know what I mean? And I called another friend of mine. And see, I'm born on the same day as James Brown. So I always had my birthday would be announced with his on the radio all the time. And we saw him in the studio on a regular basis. And so we started selling these T-shirts and got a radio station behind it, and we ended up raising, in about 2 weeks, $13,000. We presented it to the city.
Fabulous.
We presented it to the city. They moved the statue, and I got another friend who owned a masonry company, and they built the stage with the money. So whenever you see that James Brown statue and people are standing on the stage and leaning and taking pictures and stuff like that, it's because my daughter challenged me to raise the funds to pull it off. And
fabulous.
And it's there, right? And it happened right before he passed. So had it not happened, the city of Augusta would have been really kind of embarrassed to have his statue. It was so low on the ground that you'd pass by it and you wouldn't even see it. But now it's on a stage, and people are able to stand on the stage and lean under the statue with the Godfather's soul and take a picture and go back out of town and show folks I was down here with the statue on stage with Mr. Brown. And
well, you know the tagline to that story, Nelson, is get on up.
Get on up. Get on up. So, you know, but we had to lend a hand to raise the man. I tell you, I'm proud of a lot of things, but that is one of the top that I'm proud of being able to do, because it really didn't take that much. It just really took somebody moving, taking a step forward and trying to change it. And it's changed.
Beautifully.
You know?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. And go ahead, Billy. Billy and Eddie, if you're there, you know, chime in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking at Eddie over here. He's like, he's pale. He's white as a ghost. You can't believe that Eddie LaVert was on the line.
Yeah, that was great to hear.
You just made his day. You made Jerry's day. I mean, this is amazing. It's just it's a wonderful, wonderful show we got here. And we're blessed to be able to do this. Like I said, 50 years later, we're still talking about the Sugar Shack, which was around before I was around. But there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of love and a lot of harmony involved in this.
Well, no, we got one caller from 762. 762, where are you from? 444. I don't know if they want to speak or not. You know, I see you on the board here, 762-444-70. I won't say the last two numbers. Are you there? No, I guess not. They're not. They might be just listening. Rudy, anything you want? Well, Brockton, why don't you come in and give us a – what did you think of the show today?
First of all, I think it's fantastic, and I'm gonna be a frequent listener. Is this on like XM Radio or something, or a local FM channel?
No, this is an internet station. And,
okay, I wasn't sure
if
it was a regular show that comes on every week or something, or every day.
Yeah, it is. Every Thursday we're here. Every Thursday. So spread the word. Would love to hear from fans and everybody else who was part of the Sugar Shack.
Yeah, I got one quick question for Rudy or anybody. Were there any of it live recordings? I think they sent me some James Brown at the Sugar Shack. Are any of these available on YouTube or anything?
What did he say?
Is he one of if there's any live recordings from the Sugar
Shack?
Sugar Shack
available.
James
like,
did one, but like Chuck says earlier, they can't find it. It was lost. He's been looking in the archives.
Oh, my gosh.
Looking for it, but so far they haven't come up with it.
How about albums?
Yeah.
Were any albums ever recorded? You know, just,
well,
James
that's
Brown
what they're
live.
Looking for. They're looking from that one from James Brown, but no, right now, nothing.
Oh, they didn't have albums second like they have now, huh? Okay.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen today, would it?
No, everybody have their cell phones out.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Nelson, I think one of your fans or one of your band members, 803, is also on the line. 803, the other 803, want to say something?
Yeah, this is Alan Curry. I'm in Nelson First Cousin. I've just been listening from the beginning, and it's just amazing, you know, everything. And just to hear Gerald and you guys, I mean, this thing is just, it sounds wonderful. And I'm just glad to just be on the phone listening to you guys.
Well, thanks so much for calling in and joining us. And spread the word about the Shack. Rudy. Wait a minute. I think, is that Chuck calling back in, 818?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on. This is Chuck.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Moments recorded a live album at the Sugar Shack.
They did.
I don't know if it's out on CD, but the ad in the Boston paper said... The Moments live album recording tonight. So that's one I know of for sure. Just thought I'd share that.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
so
Nelson,
much.
Nelson, plug the CDs before you go. See ya.
Yeah.
Hey,
Nelson, why don't you give
Chuck,
us...
Chuck is going to be my agent, man.
Hey, Chuck,
yeah.
Chuck, he left,
yeah,
but go ahead, plug the albums.
Anybody out there who's a fan of soul music, and what we're trying to do in our project, we have an album Out of the Shadows of Soul, and our second, which is our newest, is called, we call The Shots of Soul. What we're trying to do and what we're doing on the project is bringing back that feel of soul music. That music tells a story, and the beat is going to make you dance. You know, and we have some of that slow stuff on where they used to call it, you remember back in the day they used to call it they didn't call it slow dancing. They called it slow dragging. So we got that slow drag music. So it makes you want to slow drag. And the music today seems to be missing that whole story part. And we are trying to channel the greats like Eddie LaVert, The Temptations. And matter of fact, we have a song on his new album called Baby's Love. I was trying to imagine Otis Redding and Jackie Wilson on a record together, and it came out as one of the sweetest songs. And so, if you can, go out and pick it up. You can find it on YouTube. I mean, iTunes. You can find it on Amazon. You can go to classbandbrotherhood.com. Just go out and find it. Take a listen. Pass it on to your friends because it's a class band brotherhood movement. And once you get it, you will have a stamp on your heart, in your soul, and you will be classified.
And by the way, class is spelled KLASS,
yes,
which is really classy. Classbandbrotherhood.com. Just fabulous. Rudy, I want to play. I come across something on the internet the other day.
You better leave now because I have a feeling.
If we got a couple of minutes, you want to hang around? We'll play it. Because this was one of the things that really gave me a feeling as if I were back in the day. If you just hang in a second, I'll spin this and we can get a feel for what Sugar Shack
You better
like.
Leave now because I have a feeling something special is about to happen.
We call it the Battle of the Groups. And for openers, here are the Manhattans.
Oh, wow.
I was hoping I could fast forward to the temps and the four tops, but that gives you an idea what every night sounded like in the shack.
Nice. Hey, Tom,
we finally got
Eddie on the show. Yeah, you did it. Wasn't that beautiful? I mean, that's a precious moment of tape right there.
Hey, Tom.
Go ahead. When that group got on the stage, they owned part of the Sugar Shack. Believe me, they were so great, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, they were certainly, you couldn't see them enough times. I mean, when they did come four or five times a year. I went every single time, and I came Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night.
Wow.
How much time do we have?
We can keep going.
Oh, no, well, we don't want to drag it out. After Eddie, I don't know who can follow.
Exactly. Well, that's why I was trying to get to the Temptations and the Four Tops, but I'm going to cut that 10 minutes up so we can play that because it's amazing stuff. Billy, what'd you think of today, buddy?
Yeah. We got a guy here that's standing outside. His name is Freddie Sarno. Rudy, you remember Freddie Sarno? He's an old friend of yours.
Oh, yeah. I remember that name rings a bell.
Yep. Freddie Sarno sitting here listening. We got a bunch of guys. It looks like the Sopranos sitting here in front of the North End Golf Association. What a sight to see, I'm telling you.
Hey,
I'm still
all right, well, I'll tell you what. Unless somebody's got something more to say, I'm going to close this out. What a day, Rudy. God bless you.
What
I mean, to have a tribute just every day, every week, just shows you, Rudy, it's so evident that people love you and Jerry. Love you not only for what you did for everybody, that, you know, talk about a soul, a soundtrack that has lasted forever and an experience that lasted forever. But, you know, down to the core, you guys are real guys, and people love you guys. And it's, I think this is fantastic that people can call in and connect and tell you what you did for them for the rest of their lives because of that club.
So cool.
Thank you. We've got to work on some of the other stuff and see if I can dig them up. It's time.
Great.
Yeah,
we got to get more.
They don't have
a contact
on the internet.
Right.
You got to go through through their agents, you know?
Yeah, we
well,
got
you'll
George
get them.
Clinton.
We'll keep
yeah, George Clinton
up.
Next.
Hey,
yeah,
Tom.
Okay.
Hey,
right.
Thomas,
Nelson.
I want to say something before I go. Is that I want to thank you for letting me be on the show and be a part of this, because I think it's a historic moment that I'm a part of. I also want to thank Rudy and let him know that I can tell from the way Eddie was talking that guy loves you. And for an artist to love someone like that, that person must have done something extraordinary. Because we as artists already, we're a different kind of breed. And to get our total approval like that, I mean, you have to be one heck of a guy. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you letting me be a part of that conversation and hear that, because you never forget who gives you a hand up when it's time for you to move forward. And I think you did that for him, and I can hear it in every part of his being. And that's pure love to me. And whatever, whenever, however you need the Class Band Brotherhood and us Sugar Shack Boys, they call us the Sugar Shack Boys, man. Although we're grown men, I'm the Sugar Shack Man, and the band is the Sugar Shack Boys. If you need us, we are there, man. We are there.
Thank you. I can't thank you enough. That's a great speech.
So everybody go out and get the Class Band Brotherhood music and get classified.
Make that happen. I can tell you it's a joy to be part of this experience. Brockton, one last thing from a fan. You know that you know Rudy and Jerry just planted this beautiful music and thing. So I'll give you a last word on this thing.
Yeah, I'm so happy to keeping the Sugar Shack, the story alive, and I like to see somebody put a documentary together, go down there and just the Boylston Street and say this is where my club used to be. Maybe some clips of the old groups. I think that would be a fantastic project. What do you think?
Well, let me tell you something. We're working on it. It's in progress, so. It's going to happen. We're going to, not only that, a book, a play, a movie, it's all in the works. We're going to immortalize that amazing thing that happened over 10 years. Rudy, any last words?
God bless everybody, and thanks for being on and keeping the memory alive.
Okay,
thank
all right,
you.
Billy.
Yes,
Billy,
sir.
We'll see you later. Thanks so much, everyone.
All right.
Okay, we're gonna go out with Back to the Shack. Yeah, no, that's the wrong one. I got the right one. Here we go.
There you
Thanks
go.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah. Back to the Shack.
Yeah, right on.
Have a good one.
And sometimes you meet somebody, it just blows your mind. Yeah. Sometimes you don't.